room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
f***ing. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
USA.
Yo 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 yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Find a little pause. You okay over there?
I'm just trying to get set up over here.
All right.
You know, trying to put my headphones on and
okay.
Things of that nature. Just put my slippers on.
All right.
Getting ready today? For 4 hours of fun.
That's right. Today is Wednesday, hump day, middle of the week. We were out in Miami yesterday.
Yes. So
trying to get people to register
back
to vote.
And we all got back yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't trying to get people to register to vote. We were registering people to vote.
Yeah, we were registering people to vote.
People came out there and registered.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Did we get the numbers? How many people came out? Or we don't know that.
Oh, I don't know. Mm. I didn't know we was keeping track of those kind of numbers.
Just curious.
Oh.
Just curious. Well, today, Jason Lee will be joining us.
Okay.
Yes, he has a book out.
Mm-hmm. From Hollywood Unlocked, of course, and also Loving Hip Hop. So we'll kick it with him in a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, why are you all dressed up all jiggy with it?
I'm not dressed up, but actually today after work, I got to go to D.C. I'm going to George Washington University. They're doing this conversation talking about radio and digital journalism. So it is the current state of hip-hop music and more.
Okay.
So I'll be going there for Black Heritage Celebration.
What is that, Velvet? Is that Velvet?
Yeah, this is like a crushed velvet. That's from Alice
velvet.
And Olivia.
What is this,
and
velvet?
Then you know what else I've been doing at home? I got home yesterday. I'm painting my whole like living room, kitchen, bathroom, everything.
You doing it
again.
Yourself?
No.
Oh.
But I'm having that done. Everybody always tells me, Angela, you can't ever just relax. You're always doing something. So, yes, I'm doing that, trying to, you know, just refresh your whole house, give it a new look. I've had this house for like 6.5 years now. I was like, all right. Sick of these colors.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, my whole house is sick. I had one kid
the
that
whole
has
house is
yeah,
sick.
It is. One kid had the flu. That was Jackson. He had the flu. He's just getting over that. So today is his first day back at school after like 3-4 days. Little Brooklyn had pink eye.
Ooh.
So she's out of commission.
Have
for
you ever
a
had
bit.
Pink eye?
Yeah.
That's when you're supposed to put some urine in your eye. Now, just a little bit of, just a little dab of urine.
Definitely not urine. Go
I'm
to the
telling
doctor.
You it'll work.
Get an antibiotic.
I mean, listen, y'all rich, but I'm talking, when you grow up in the circumstances that I grew up in, you learn to have these little home remedies like urine.
Who peed in your eye?
Me. You take a little bit of your own pee, you put it on a little, you put a little dab of it on the tissue, and let it drop in your eye just like drops. South Carolina remedy, guarantee you it works. Guarantee you it's millions of people out there who tried it who know it works.
I would fact check that, guys. Do not listen to Charlamagne.
Listen, trust me. A little urine in your eye clears your pink eye. I didn't say pee in your eye. You do it like Visine drops. Trust me. Trust me.
I wouldn't advise that.
Can't you get an infection?
I don't know.
Why would you get an infection? What's wrong with your pee?
I went to...
You can't put urine in your eye.
I went to the doctor.
Man, Google it. Telling you.
I went to the doctor and I got an antibiotic for Brooklyn and she it's like a Visine drop that they put in her eye.
Long before doctors and antibiotics, Mother Nature gave us what we needed and sometimes it comes right from us. Okay?
I'm not doing that. But anyway, yeah, so she had pink eyes, so she's out of commission for a day or two. So the rest of the family's good. Those two out of commission.
I'm reading about the urine in your eye, and it says that it's extremely harmful. In many cases, urine contains a lot of bacteria, and introducing this into the eye, especially the children who haven't built up their immune system yet, you will end up with serious eye conditions.
I don't care what you just had to Google. I'm telling you off experience, and I'm sure that there's millions of people out there who used it off experience, that a little urine in your eye can cure some pink eye.
This is the same guy that does the earwax to check for STDs.
That's a joke, but I'm telling you the truth when it comes to urine. I bet you see some people out there that had to live in the woods for a while or some military people that'll tell you urine, yes. Trust me.
Urine, yes. All right.
Google.
All right. Well, what a way to start the show. All right, let's get it cracking.
Google can tell you anything, by the way. I can Google, is DJ Envy really a leopard? I'm like, yes, DJ Envy has spots.
Let me see. Okay. I'm going to Google that right now. Is DJ Envy...
Anything you want to find on Google, you can find if you type it in.
Okay. Is DJ Envy really a leopard?
I don't see anything on that.
Let me see.
No, he's more of a jaguar.
When I put in your name, the first thing that comes up is mental hospital.
Great.
Lord have mercy.
Great.
See what I'm saying?
Great.
See what I'm saying?
All right.
You know what I mean?
Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Let's talk about Bloomberg. A lot of people are talking about the comments that he made defending stop and frisk and talking about throwing minority kids against the walls. And this audio is from only 5 years ago.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we start with, Yee?
Well, Andrew Yang and Michael Bennett are dropping out of the 2020 presidential race.
Nah, I forgot Michael Bennett was even in it, so he should have been dropped out.
Right, he was a late entrant to the race, so guess it wasn't going to happen for him. For Andrew Yang, he was looking to see what the results from New Hampshire would be, and he was trailing all of the other candidates according to early results. So he tweeted out, "I'm so proud of this campaign. Thank you to everyone who got us here." But he said there was a part of me that thought we might be able to win this race and get this done this cycle. So there's a lot of disappointment because when you're goal-oriented and you're a builder, it's very hard to pat yourself on the back and say job well done if you didn't win. But it looks like right now Bernie Sanders is winning as far as the New Hampshire Democratic primary.
Yeah, he made some. Andrew Yang made some noise, though. He probably heard Angela Rye on The Breakfast Club yesterday, and his self-esteem hit the bottom of the floor.
Well, they're saying that he might run for mayor of New York. That's what
Andrew Yang?
Yeah, is potential.
You live in New York?
That's what
the
buzz
from New
is.
York. He lives in New York. He's from New York. It's just crazy how these candidates spend millions and millions and millions of dollars and then just drop off. That money's just lost.
Yeah, but if you have less than 1%, what are you going to do? Keep on going? At some point, you have to be like, all right, this isn't happening. But you can see Mayor Pete Buttigieg is actually in second place according to the New Hampshire Democratic primary.
Mayor Pete
and then Amy Klobuchar is in third. And you would have thought she might have dropped out previously, but she's been picking up some steam now.
Well, New Hampshire is a very, 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 very white state, though. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, Amy Klobuchar wasn't even in the conversation, I feel like, for a while.
Yeah, right. But you go to a place like New Hampshire and you do some campaigning and she's white and a lot of other people there are white, they probably can relate to each other.
And former mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, there's audio of him where he is talking about a stop and frisk policing policy. You know, he did not want some of this audio to get out. This is him speaking in Colorado.
Murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops.
What?
They are male minorities 15 to 21. That's true in New York, it's true in virtually every city. People say, oh my God, you are arresting kids for marijuana. They're all minorities. Yes, that's true. Why? Because we put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods. Yes, that's true. Why we do it? Because that's where all the crime is. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them against the wall and frisk them.
So he's basically saying murders and murderers and murder victims are male minorities between the ages of 16 and 25. If you Xerox that description and pass it out to all the cops, that's what the description is, and that's why you throw the kids up against the wall and stop and frisk.
Hey, I can't lie to you. I listened to that audio a few times yesterday online, and it was way clearer than the one we just played on the radio.
Well, there's another one. There's another one where he did an interview on WOR. Yeah. That one's from the speech that he actually asked them not to release any of that audio at that time in 2015. This is him on the radio defending it.
They just keep saying, oh, it's a disproportionate percentage of a particular ethnic group. That may be, but it's not a disproportionate percentage of those who witnesses and victims describe as committing the murder. In that case, incidentally, I think we disproportionately stop whites too much and minorities too little.
Wow.
Well, you know, people keep asking, is Bloomberg racist? I don't know if he's personally racist. I don't even know if it matters if he's personally racist. I know that the stop and frisk policy was racist, and that statement he made about the stop and frisk policy is racist. So add 1 + 1, guys.
2!
Sounds like it equals 2 to me.
Mm. All right, well, that is your front page news.
We didn't even talk about how much of a loser Joe Biden is. My God. How did people say that he was the most electable candidate, and he polled 5th in New Hampshire? Worse than he did in goddamn Iowa. Jesus. Joe Biden's just not... I'm not
That's
Joe
Biden, man.
Joe Biden's not good at nothing either, but Joe Biden's not good at running for president.
I thought it was your friend.
I know, I'm just playing.
All
Joe
right.
Biden's not good at running for president.
All
Jesus
right.
Christ.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
What's up, Gary?
What's good with you?
Hey, Gary, it was nice meeting you yesterday, brother.
Yes, what's up, Gary?
Hey, what's good, Charlamagne? What's up?
Peace, King.
Yeah, it was definitely nice meeting y'all yesterday. Man, I had my camera and all. I was trying to take pictures of y'all, but they said they was taking the pictures.
We ain't control that part of it, brother.
Who is they?
Yeah, I tried to get my shirt autographed and everything. Angela Rye got a chance to sign it outside, but I wanted all three of y'all to sign it.
You were standing right by me, Gary. We took a picture together.
No, me and you did, but I was trying to get Angela Yee and Envy to sign the shirt, too.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was actually outside for a little bit walking around.
Say it again?
I said I was actually outside walking around, but sorry, brother. We'll catch you on the next one.
Oh, yeah, that probably was before I got there. Yeah, by the time I got there, I got a chance to see Charlamagne and chop it up with him.
Okay.
Real quick.
Yeah, I went outside like three times. I was like, because everybody kept being like, come outside.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, what's up, Envy?
What's up, Trav?
How you doing, handsome?
Oh, shoot, you better stop flirting with me. I'm a married man, Trav, but I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
You sound like you want to stop and frisk Envy this morning, Trav.
Hey, Trav.
What's up, Yee? How you doing, beautiful?
Hey, baby.
What's up, ugly? Charlamagne.
That means you think I'm the sexiest one. I know what that means. What's up, ugly?
Oh, no, Char. I ain't seen you walking and strutting down the runways last weekend. I saw Envy, though.
Yeah, that ain't my steez.
Ow!
What's up, though?
Listen, I want to talk about Dwayne Wade's son, man. Listen, somebody got to talk to, what's the girl name that run the Shade Room page? Angie?
Angie?
What's her name? Angie, right?
Yes.
She has to understand that by this point, as many times as she has posted Dwayne Wade's child on that toxic-ass page and how you go through, there should be no reason, there should be 22,000 comments on something because somebody said they want to change their name to Zaya. Like, it's really not that serious. I don't care less if the little boy, well, excuse me, the little girl says she want to change her name to Angela. Just mind your business. Like, raise your own children. And I keep saying this over and over again. Fellas, if you're going to have a child with a lady, ladies, if you're going to have a child with a fella, you have to, like, ask them, if our child was to be gay, if our child was to come out transsexual or something, how would you act? Are you this type of toxic person? Because you do not want that type of person in your child's life.
Trav, I'm going to have to tell you something. You got to take what you consider good with what you consider bad, because there's plenty of stuff that goes on Shade Room that gets a whole bunch of comments. And just because something personally affects you, you can't be mad at it and say Angie needs to do better. All Angie is doing is posting stories. She's not responsible for what people leave on her page.
Yeah, and that's not the only place that posted the story.
And when you go to Entertainment Tonight that posted the story, when you look at the comments and then you look at the Shade Room, I feel like the Shade Room purposely posted certain stuff because they know it's going to get toxic comments.
No, that's just our culture. Our culture moves a little bit different than those people that go to E! News.
No, I kind of agree with Trav. I think sometimes these blogs post things just to see the toxic comments. I absolutely positively agree.
Yeah, but I can't see them not posting.
I don't think it's just on Shade Room, though.
That was a big story.
What?
When we went to Elvis Duran with that butt and over here with the butt, how did their audience react to it?
That sounds crazy.
It's the truth, though. It's two different audiences.
But I do feel like sometimes these blogs do post things to get those toxic comments. I'm not going to say it's just on Shade Room, but I do feel like a lot of the blogs do. And
that's not the blog's fault.
They're purposely posting children, Charlamagne. They're purposely posting children.
And that child is what, 12 years old?
So you would rather her not post a story?
That child is 12 years old. I felt like a lot of blogs do that on purpose, but I think those comments are disgusting. And the fact that child is smart and they have extraordinary influences with Gabriel Union and Dwayne Wade, I just want to salute them. They're doing a phenomenal job with that child.
And I'm sure Dwayne Wade probably has his comments limited, but you think that they don't go to Dwayne Wade's page with the same smoke?
I do believe that certain people
different
sites do get different comments based on how things are presented and structured, but I can't imagine not posting that story, and hopefully it is something that will help other kids, you know, and other families too, but you can't not post the story.
Yeah, what you supposed to do, hide? You know what I'm saying?
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, DJ. I mean, this is Manny from Long Island.
Manny, what's up? Get it off your chest, bro.
Yeah, I just want to say, I don't know who's in charge, but need to fix these highways with all these potholes. You have a choice. Either you hit the car or you hit the pothole.
Where you live at?
I hit a pothole.
He just said Long Island.
It's the Northern State Parkway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, New York potholes are always bad, man. It's one of those things where you got to drive extra slow, because if you hit it, it'll ruin your day.
Yeah, and especially in the morning, you can't really see.
All right, bro. Well, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Hello. Who's this?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So, I was on Facebook, right? And I'm Tanika calling out of Charlotte.
704, what's happening?
704, but listen, I'm from 864. I'm just living in Charlotte. But a lady had posted a status about how a long time she thought she was wiping material, she could cook, she could clean, best qualities, et cetera, et cetera. But she felt like her mind wasn't there. She was mean. She was this. She was that. So she couldn't attract the right man. And reading the status, she worded it very well. But I'm like, you know what? As women, we got to stop thinking we have to attract the right man. Like, we got to let the man come and, like, find us. I feel like we're always changing and trying to attract something when men got to go out their way for us as well. It's a two-way street.
Hmm. You're not lying.
Yeah, I think you only make changes to yourself when you feel like you're just bettering yourself for you, not necessarily just because I want to find a man, because that's not genuine.
Absolutely. I guess I also feel like those men that are great men, I don't know if they take advantage of that because there's not a lot to select for. So I just want the ladies to know to continue to be you. Don't try to change who you are to attract the right thing, because when it's meant to be, it's going to be.
Okay. Valentine's Day is coming up, too, by the way, this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yo.
Hello.
Here.
The iPhone Sim, what's up, brother?
Yo, what's going on? And it's Mello, too. You know the vibes. What's up, Andy?
What's up, Mello? What's popping?
Are y'all always together?
Yo. Yeah, that's my boy. Listen, PK, y'all missed the party. Yeah, the party was epic. Yo, but the best thing about the party is right at the end, Mello got all our food for free. Mello was singing to the girl behind the McDonald's counter.
What party is this?
It's the party he promoted on Wednesday. Remember you told him to promote his party?
Right, right.
Yeah, the party I shouted out last week. First off, thank you for that, bro. So, and yeah, we went to Mickey D's afterwards.
Your phone sounds terrible.
You should have got a free phone instead of free McDonald's now. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, my name's Roy Nelson. I was calling in. I wanted to vent. You know, I'm from the Bay Area. My father is basically, if you look it up, his name is Roy Nelson. It's basically a story like the West Coast Eric Garner, you feel me? My father called for help with Hayward Police Department, and he ended up slain. Killed next door in it's called Chabot College. They instead of like taking care of him, taking him to a mental facility, they just took him to a parking lot next door to our house and just basically beat him up and put the restraint on backwards, and he suffocated.
Wow.
And, you know, they tried to just blame it on drugs and stuff, and you can search it up. It's an article. It's called West Coast Eric Garner. His name is Roy Nelson.
Roy Nelson.
They basically just Roy Lee Nelson second. I'm the third. And you can basically see all the details and all that. You know, the police department is called Hayward Police Department. They covered the whole thing up. You know, I took a settlement for my family because it was real stressing. But I just want to just call in and, you feel me, anybody that's going through something like that, I want to pray for you. And I tell you I love you and keep your head up, because I know how stressing it can be.
Wow, I see the story right now. I'm sorry to hear that.
I appreciate it. So I just wanted to get it out, because these police departments, you know, they cover up stories and don't try to get it out at all, you know. And I'm putting all that energy in, you know, doing production and, you know, just doing, making something out of my life, making my father
proud.
Name live on, because they tried to describe him like he was just a drug addict, you feel me? And he was calling for help, and, you know, they just treated him like he was crap.
I mean, what does justice look like for you in that situation, though?
It's really no justice. Like, I feel like I haven't even, like, vented the right way, because the whole process, it was, like, so public.
Right.
I didn't want to embarrass my family or nothing like that, so I never got to. I was worried about other people rather than
yourself.
You know, myself. So later on in my life, this happened in 2015. It's like it's really showing itself to me. I'm in a blessed situation, like, as far as not, you know, having a house and stuff like that. But I feel like mentally I'm just not right, and I'm trying to get myself right.
Well, it's a process, my brother. It's going to take some time. I don't know why they lie to us and tell us time heals all wounds, because that's not the truth. But
yeah.
Just keep doing the work, man.
All righty, bro. Get it off your chest, 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, Jussie Smollett, it's not over. He's facing 6 counts in a new indictment for the alleged attack that happened in Chicago.
Should have left them goddamn people alone.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk to Dwayne Wade.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
So Dwayne Wade was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and he was talking about his daughter, Zaya, and here's what he had to say about his daughter, who was born as his son.
We are proud parents of a child in the LGBTQ plus community, and we're proud allies as well. When a child comes home with an issue, when a child comes home with anything, it's our job as parents to give them the best information that we can, and that doesn't change because sexuality is now involved in it. So once Zaya, our 12-year-old, came home, Zion born as a boy, came home and said, hey, I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth. And I want to be referenced as she and her. I would love for you guys to call me Zaya.
All right, Dwayne Wade goes on to expand on the Ellen show about Zaya.
And so internally, now is our job to, one, go out and get information, to reach out to every relationship that we have. My wife reached out to everybody on the cast of Pose. We're just trying to figure out as much information we can to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be, you know, her best self. And once Zion came home and said, hey, you call me Zaya and I'm ready to take on this, I looked at it and said, you are a leader. You are a leader, and it's our opportunity to allow you to be a voice.
Now, Gabrielle Union also posted a video of Zaya in the car with Dwayne Wade and it looks like a golf cart.
Yeah, it looked like they were on a golf cart. They were golfing, looked like.
And said she's compassionate, loving, whip smart, and we are so proud of her. It's okay to listen to, love, and respect your children exactly as they are. Love and like good people.
I love it, man. I see so many people having a problem with it, but I don't see a problem. And I think they're being great parents. Obviously, their child knows that what he or she wants, it wants to be referred as a she, what she wants, and I respect it.
Well, here's Zaya speaking herself.
What's the point of being on this earth if you're going to try to be someone you're not?
Even when people are being mean, even when people are getting hurt?
Yeah, I think, I know it can get tough. I mean, like, it's worth it when you reach that point of, like, yourself.
Feeling free.
Yeah.
Feeling like you.
Yeah.
Feeling like you don't have to hide.
Like, you can look in the mirror and, like, say, like, hi to yourself. Like, nice to meet you. Mm. Instead of, like, I don't really know who I am. Mm. It's like a full identity crisis.
I mean, what else is D-Wade supposed to do in that situation? It's his child. Like, what is he supposed to do? Just not support his young child? Like, I don't know how I would react to my child in that situation. I just know that's your child.
There's a lot of parents that...
There's definitely a reality that the parents
act a different
way
he's 12. How old is he? Like 12, 13?
There's a lot of parents that just let their child go, do not respect, represent, and abandon the child. There's a lot of parents that do that.
After 12 years of love?
Yes, absolutely.
That's why it's not easy.
Well, I just...
Do you see some of those comments?
No, I don't.
Read the comments and you'll understand exactly what it is.
I would just want him... How old is he?
12.
She is 12.
She's 12.
I would just want her to be sure, okay? Because 12 years old, that's a big decision. That's not like, you know, debating, you know, whether you want to do karate or, you know, swim class or, you know, cheerleading, whatever it is. That's a big decision to make at 12 for a child. So I would just want my child to be absolutely sure.
That's why it was important to hear from her herself, where she said she was just looking in the mirror and say, this is who I am. And she felt like she was having an identity crisis before, so... And it feels like this is what she's identifying.
Yeah, I feel like she's sure.
All right, now.
And on another note, what the hell is LGBTQ2+?
LGBTQ+.
They had numbers now?
I almost tried it. I was going to say, I said, let me not stop.
Like, what they doing?
I stopped. I was like,
Sounds like it costs $69 a month. That sounds more expensive than Disney Plus. What is that?
All right, now, Gabrielle Union may sue Simon Cowell, and that is because he was smoking near her on America's Got Talent. You know, that secondhand smoke. And they said he was smoke when the cameras weren't running. And he's known for smoking up to 80 cigarettes in a day. So imagine the impact that can have on somebody who is just around. So they do say that Gabrielle Union could have a case for this. But some people are saying good luck getting any work after that.
Now, wait a minute. Now, the racial and gender discrimination turned into...
She already dealt with that, but now this is a new situation for endangering her life by passive smoking. This is according to the
Blast. You can sue people for that?
Yeah, you can't just smoke. That endangers people's lives.
Not at work. You just can't sue people on the street, but if you're at work, like, you just can't... I can't smoke a cigarette in here.
Yeah, imagine you're with somebody all day on set and they're just smoking cigarettes and they won't stop around
you. I'm about
to
sue some people around here then.
Ooh, nobody's
smoking
here.
Smoke in here.
A lot of people that smoke in this building.
All right, Jussie Smollett is facing...
in the building?
Yes. Well, you gotta be in your workplace.
Is it a no smoking zone, though?
Yes, the only person that smoked here was Snoop.
I'm not talking about her, this, I'm talking about the place that Gabrielle and Simon worked at.
Yeah, you can't smoke.
Got talent.
Yeah, you can't smoke in
there. How do you know?
Especially in California.
You can't smoke in none of the businesses anymore. You cannot smoke inside a business anymore. They passed that law years ago.
Really? All right, Jussie Smollett is facing 6 counts in a new indictment for the alleged attack on him. And now he's facing 6 felony counts for lying to law enforcement. A source connected to Jussie Smollett is saying the officers who reinvestigated the case are the same ones who originally investigated it. These officers are currently being sued by Smollett. They have also spent taxpayer money on having these officers go to Los Angeles and harass members of Smollett's team and friends. So he will be arraigned February 24th. He's facing up to 3 years in state prison if he is convicted.
That's what he get. He kept going with that lie when he should have let it go.
Still saying it is not true.
All right. He should have got out them people way a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Yes, we'll tell you who is now dropping out of the 2020 presidential race.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. What are we starting with, Yee?
Well, today is the last day for this, but JetBlue is celebrating 20 years in the air. They have some fares that are as low as $20 one way, so that's going to end tonight.
Dropping the clues,
so if you
want to
get that sale.
I was on JetBlue. What was I on JetBlue? Yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
I think the day before, too, because I went to D.C. and Miami in the same day, but when I was on JetBlue yesterday, the guy said, thank you for always shouting us out. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you for being a loyal Mosaic customer, and thank you for always showing us love. Love the show.
Yeah, that's how we sound. I'm a Delta guy myself.
I'm JetBlue all day, baby.
All
Mosaic
right.
member.
Diamond member.
I might be that on Delta, too.
All right, now let's talk about Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant. They actually have been laid to rest. They were buried in a private ceremony in Corona Del Mar, California, on February 7th. So the public memorial, again, is scheduled for February 24th.
Let me ask a dumb question. I thought when they had the...
All your questions are dumb.
Shut up. But I thought when they had the memorial, I thought the actual body was there when they did that. It wasn't? Not in Michael Jackson's case or Nipsey's case? I'm not sure.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Mm. That's a good question. I don't know.
Oh, that was a good question, huh?
And then you also don't know if it's not like you're going to have like an open casket and, you know, so.
I'm going to be honest with you. For you,
yeah,
Envy,
shut up.
You should say, let me ask a good question.
I'm going to fight you right now.
Okay, you should say.
Oh, you think that's funny? Eddie, you think that's funny too, huh?
You actually have a good question. So let me ask a good question.
F y'all.
Now, the Washington Redskins have hired the NFL's first ever female African-American full-time coaching intern. So Jennifer King is making history in this position. So congratulations to her. She is the second African-American female coaching intern in the league. Colette Smith had an internship with the New York Jets during training, according to outlets that reported.
Who's she coached for?
The Washington Redskins.
Redskins. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we'll talk about who dropped out of the Democratic race. And that is Andrew Yang and Michael Bennett. They have both dropped out of the 2020 presidential race. Andrew Yang wasn't doing so well. He was trailing all of the other candidates, according to early results from the New Hampshire primary. So mm-hmm. it looks like it didn't make sense for him to continue. He also fired dozens of staffers after he finished in sixth place in last week's Iowa caucus with less than 1% of the delegates. Bennett was a late entrant to the race. He basically was trying to win New Hampshire. A large part of his bid was based on that. That didn't happen. Now there's rumors that Andrew Yang could potentially run for mayor of New York.
Yeah, I mean, polls don't know what the hell they be talking about. Like, what is electability when the last two presidents were the people that nobody thought was going to win, Barack Obama and Donald Trump? Because you look at Joe Biden, he's fourth in Iowa and fifth in New Hampshire, but he's supposed to be the most electable candidate. Jesus Christ.
All right, now, former mayor of New York, Bloomberg, is also running for president, and he's had to defend some of the things that he has said on public platforms. In particular, there is audio where he's talking about stop and frisk and saying that 95% of murder victims are male minorities. Listen to this.
Murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25. People say, oh my God, you are arresting kids for marijuana. They're all minorities. Yes, that's true. Why? Because that's where all the crime is. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them against the wall and frisk them.
Whew. All right, this is from 2015, by the way, and here's an interview that he did on the radio where he talks about we need to stop white people less and black people more.
They just keep saying, oh, it's a disproportionate percentage of a particular ethnic group. That may be, but it's not a disproportionate percentage of those who witnesses and victims describe as committing the murder. In that case, incidentally, I think we disproportionately stop whites too much and minorities too little.
You know, could someone tell me, though, why the old white men who have implemented the most racist legislation, Biden and Bloomberg, have the most black support? Like, what the hell is wrong with you Negroes? Like, there is no perfect candidate, so you truly have to vote for the person who you think best represents your interests. But how could you vote for someone who intentionally implemented legislation that hurts your community? Like, getting Donald Trump out is not enough for me. I want to know who's going to actually do something directly to empower the black community, and I damn sure am not going to support somebody who's done things that directly hurt it. That's just my opinion.
All right. Well, for Bloomberg on his behalf, he tried to defend this. You know, Donald Trump actually tweeted out that audio also and called him racist.
I seen.
And he said, President Trump's deleted tweet is the latest example of his endless efforts to divide Americans. I inherited the police practice of stop and frisk. And as part of our effort to stop gun violence, it was overused. By the time I left office, I cut it back by 95%, but I should have done it faster and sooner. I regret that, and I have apologized, and I have taken responsibility for taking too long to understand the impact it had on black and Latino communities. But this issue and my comments about it do not reflect my commitment to criminal justice reform and racial equity.
Yeah, you take responsibility and apologize for it right before you announce your bid for President of the United States of America. Yeah. Mm. That sounds genuine to me.
Yeah, he did it at a black church.
At a black church in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Crazy. All right. Well, that is your front page news. Now, when we come back.
I have a question. How come, according to DJ Envy's, it says when you Google DJ Envy's name, it says, is DJ Envy a Crip comes up? Why do people think that?
I don't know.
Probably in your younger days, trying to be down.
Nah, never. I never.
Needing that protection from the streets.
Nah.
Had to protect your
That's
jewelry.
That's random, though. I've never heard that one.
We from New York. There wasn't too many of those when we were growing up.
What, was, were you a Decepticon?
It was Decepticons. It was Transformers.
Transformers. Oh, yeah.
What else? There was some other stuff. There was Latin Kings were big when I was growing up.
Oh, there you go. That's what Envy was.
I wasn't.
Envy was definitely a Latin King.
I was
King.
None of them.
Dominican? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was none of them.
You either Latin King or I'm in the terror squad. Pick one.
All right, when we come back, Jason Lee will be joining us. Of course, he's from Love & Hip Hop. You know him from Hollywood Unlocked, and he has a new book out. So we'll talk to him when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, morning, like everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
That's right.
Jason Lee.
Don't stop spilling that tea you was just spilling.
No, I didn't spill anything.
You don't put everything on the air.
Man, I don't even know how I feel this morning.
What Why? You mean?
Man, because life is just crazy. I mean, I woke up yesterday really happy and excited. Then I went to D.C. to speak at Howard University for my new book. And then on the way back, I got accosted by a barb. I'm like, why are y'all
accosted tripping? By a what?
A barb. Another barb.
Oh, a barb ran down don't on like you? You?
Yeah, pulled up again. What thought it was a homeless person. I thought I was being attacked by a homeless person. So
this
I
was
just,
at Howard University?
Well, this was in the Amtrak. I took a train from New York to D.C. because I guess that's what people do. I mean, you just take a train, right? I had a lot of work to do.
They run like every hour.
Rich people do it. I don't understand train shaming.
Did you go in first class?
I didn't even know there was a first class on a train. It's just, I didn't see
first class.
There is.
Well. I've done it. I'm going to D.C. because the flights from D.C. be kind of tricky, so I've taken a train.
Yeah, it was a train. I got accosted by, so I thought it was a homeless person, so I told my friends, like relax, like, don't attack this person. We don't need to be on camera, you know, fighting with the homeless in the train station.
All right, well, let's play the audio.
Oh, my gosh, gag. You Jason Lee? Yeah. Oh, my gosh, gag. Ooh, you catching the train? Ooh, the girls got the nerve to come for Nikki and they catching the train. Yikes.
He's at the train station, too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Isn't he on the train, too?
What is What's wrong happening? With people?
But you know, the internet is so stupid.
Like, this happened yesterday.
My friends were up late last night really mad about this. I'm like, what? He was on the same train.
He's on the train. Exactly. Yeah. I don't get it.
That's funny because I took the train yesterday and I never take the train and I was on the train yesterday. He had to give me a Metro card.
I'm not going to lie. I take the train all the time.
That's his real train, though.
I never take the train.
Well, yes,
y'all take the subway.
I take the subway.
It's the difference between the subway and
the train. My mom works for New York City Transit Authority. Yeah. So I grew up, like, and she's worked there since I was a kid.
Not more.
So I grew up my whole life taking the train.
Yeah, I don't know. Train shaming. That's the new thing, I guess. I was train shaming.
We're here to talk about your book.
Yes.
God must have forgotten about me.
Yes.
Jason
Lee. Add another chapter.
It's the next book.
How has processing your emotions been? Being so transparent about personal shit?
Yeah. it's been interesting. You know, I when I started writing the book, I was more so going through a personal journey. Like, I was going through this transformative process where I'm like, you know, I need to deal with all my shit. So I went back to Love and Hip Hop, as I said last time I was here, to deal with my daddy issues, deal with, you know, tell my brother's story. But I knew I was going to write the book when I went back. So I started writing the book, and as I was writing and getting to the details of it, it started getting really heavy. What I didn't think about was how everybody in the book was going to respond once the book came out, because now the fans are finding people online, and, you know, people are talking about the book on television. And so, you know, my sister got really emotional when Wendy talked about her mom.
That's why you don't use real names, Jason.
Well, it's his sister, so everybody knows that's his sister.
Yeah, but not everybody in the book is your sister or
brother. But then, like, the first dude I was in a relationship with, he was in a down-low relationship with me. He had a girlfriend at the time who's now his baby's mom.
And that was your best friend.
That should have been a
friend
who
lives here in New York, and now I put her real name in the book. Her daughter found out. She found out. You know, she's not happy. I didn't really think about the consequences of, you know.
They can sue you.
That's why it's true.
No. Yes, they can.
If it's true, though?
Yes.
How can they sue you if something's true?
Listen, I got two books. I'm a New York Times bestselling author. That's why I changed all the names in my books.
Really?
They can sue you.
They have people do these stories and these stories and all these documentaries, and they use real names.
I mean, how did Super do her book and not get sued?
People didn't want the problem, I guess.
I'm suing Lifetime TV, and that's a different situation. They took my face and my name and my content and put it in Surviving R. Kelly. That's different. Okay. Nobody in there has been outed. I think just the relationship at the time, he was with his girl, I was with my girl. I left my girl, he stayed with his girl. She didn't know about us. She found out about him when he came out.
Right.
And she was like, the only thing I need to know is that, what was your relationship with Jason? He was like, oh, that was just a homie. Well, now she knows it was more than that.
Wow, so he was lying all these years. Why didn't he just tell the truth about, because he was cheating.
No, yeah, we were in a relationship.
Then why she care about you, of all people? Like,
Because when we got together, he was like not going home. He was chilling at the homie's house all the time.
Because she knew.
She knew but didn't know. She knows now.
She was hiding it from herself.
As you sipped the tea.
And then what about the boxer that came to move with you, right? Did people realize
who
he was?
Yeah, I don't know where he is, but, you know, that was like the worst person I ever dated. That actually set the tone for the type of people I would never date. You know, sometimes people get in relationships, the sex is good, or, you know, they can pay half the bill, so it just gets comfortable. And I just feel like you should never be in a relationship that doesn't feel good. We ended up in a physical fight. Mm-hmm. Like, in the book, I talk about how the end of
with
it.
With the boxer?
Yeah.
Did he hit you below the belt?
Charlamagne, I don't know where this ass toy is up here, but I want to get it. Yeah, we'll get into that, no pun intended, in a minute. I can't. I've been waiting to talk to you about what the fuck is going on, because I've been defending you in these streets, but I don't know at this point.
Why?
No, because I don't want everybody to be gay. You know, like, I don't want everybody to be gay.
We don't
want
to claim everything.
You know, and then I watched you. You have so much professionalism, envy. You was rubbing it with the lotion. You put your in his ass.
He's a team player.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Where was I at? What the f*** were you talking
about?
About
the boxer you were fighting.
We had been drinking a lot. He went to the house. He started destroying my house because he was mad. You know, he had these issues. I think his mom tried to drown him as a kid, so he had, like some cognitive issues. But I accepted him for all his flaws at the time. But he went to the house, started tearing up the house. When I got there, he was really drunk. He just didn't know I was going to catch him with a good one. And I just lost it. And I found myself, I just punched him, and we just started fighting. And that was crazy, because I never saw myself going there, you know. But then we left. We broke up after that because it was just, you know, it was just too toxic.
You know, you talk about a lot of failed romantic relationships in the book. Do you think you'll ever be able to really love someone, being that, you know, maybe as a child you didn't get the love that you needed?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm open to it, but now it's even harder today because of what I do. You know, I mean, get with somebody. Hey, how's Cardi doing? Like, I don't know. Go to her Instagram. You know,
and so then the barbs are gonna attack them too.
Yeah, but they got to be built for it. You know, you got to be built for it. But I'm, you know, I still just, I don't know. Relationships are interesting. That's something I haven't mastered yet.
Now, back then, you didn't mind being with somebody who was already in a relationship, dating a woman. How do you feel about that nowadays? Would you still do that now?
I don't know, because I'm not in a place where I don't personally see myself just being with one person just yet. I mean, I want to be, but then I just don't see that being the thing. So I don't know. I mean, I have a situation where another one of my exes is here in New York. We were talking about having an open relationship. He has a girl. You know, he knows that I like other guys. We went to Miami. We were trying to figure it out. One day I'm in the club here with Wendy and Nene, and this girl comes up to me, and she's just like, hey, you know, me and you have the same friend in common. I'm like, well, who? It could be anybody. Right. And then she says my ex's name, and I'm like, really? I'm getting run down in the club by a bottle girl? you know, whatever the f- she was. So
why is it Jay? Stop bottle girl shaming. You sound like the Bob shaming you about the train right now. Nothing wrong being a bottle girl.
Listen, we all got to drink, but that's what.
We all got to drink.
So what I did was I just put him and my other ex in a text message. It was like, "Yo, pull up, let's have lunch." So we all had lunch, and I just like went in about how. Anybody I'm involved with will never run down on somebody else that I'm talking to. They just we have a certain understanding
control
of privacy.
Control your hoes is basically what you would say.
Well, I don't call nobody a hoe. Yeah. I don't have hoes. I have friends.
Okay. In a relationship like that, who's the most important player, right? Because I would think the woman, right? If the woman's with a guy and the guy likes other guys, doesn't she have to be the main person on board with it?
No, actually, she would not be the main person. And she actually knows, you know, what I love about my ex, everybody that he gets with, every female that he's talked to, he tells her about me before they even go anywhere serious, he tells them. So she would know that she would have to play second position.
Lord have mercy.
Because I ain't playing second position. What I look like? I can't talk to you because I'm on a date with... whatever her name is, nah, we're not doing that.
All right, we got more with Jason Lee. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Jason Lee, Charlamagne.
And you lost your brother.
I did.
You lost a lot of people.
Yeah,
man.
Friends, family members. Do you ever feel like survivor's guilt?
Mm-mm. Nope, I'm just thankful to still be here. I was saying yesterday at Howard, I was like, yo, Kobe had more money than me. Mm-hmm. He had abs. He was famous, popular. He had influence. He was a good man. He was a father. Yeah. And he's gone. Like, life is very short. And death really just triggers me because if you read in the book, you know, I lost. In 1997, I lost so many friends. I lost my brother. It's just people were just dying left and right. So for me, when Kobe died, it literally triggered all those feelings again, because you go back to that place of, you know, his daughter's classroom is going to have one open seat. You know, her house is going to have an empty bed. And then her husband's out there and like what they're going through.
Lord
and just,
mercy.
You know, it was just a crazy time. So for me, yeah, I lost a lot of people, but I don't have survivor's guilt. I'm just grateful.
So what did you think of the ass when Charlamagne gave me the ass as a gift?
That's not in his book.
Okay. So
it's not,
no.
But he said he wanted to talk about it.
I've been waiting to talk about this.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. So let me just say, so I get a text from my team and they say, can we post this? When I got the text and I saw the box, I go, that's nice. You know, they have such a good relationship. He bought him a gift.
Yes.
You should have known it was bad.
No, but yes. I didn't click it. I just saw you standing with a box. I'm like, oh, that's
yeah,
so nice.
It. That's
you
right.
know? And then they go, can we post this? And I'm like, why are you asking me if you could post a gift from Charlamagne?
That's
yeah,
right.
post it. And they go, no, you need to watch this video. Okay, so I push play, and I'm watching the video, and I'm watching you unpack this ass. And I'm thinking, oh, well, he got him a woman's ass. Then I saw the balls. You so f***ing out of line for that.
Why?
No, Charlamagne. You out of line. But then they were like.
I didn't want a gender fluid ass. But I wanted to identify.
Can you please stop shaking the ass? I feel like I'm in.
When the last time you told a man to stop shaking his ass?
Well, this would definitely be a first. What I got from it was, well, one, it was gay. But what I got.
You thought it was gay?
Well, I thought it was gay-like. You know, but what I will say
is,
that's the it was gayish. No, I mean, clearly you guys are comfortable in who you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so I don't know. That was funny, but it was gayish.
He's got a beautiful wife. I got a beautiful wife. Well, that don't mean nothing.
All my
clearly, if you read Jason's book,
exactly.
That means nothing.
I forgot about that.
That was a terrible defense.
We were actually going to put the ass on the wall. And you know how in Apollo you got to rub the log, you smack the ass before you go.
I heard about that. You know how disrespectful that is? Y'all took the Apollo and said, you know what, f*** a shrub. We just going to put an ass right here.
They got a log, we got an ass.
Yeah. But what if somebody brings their kid up here? Now the kid's playing around and just the f*** goes in the
well,
ass.
Well, you got to know
weird.
What rooms you're walking into. All right?
Okay. Now, Jason,
didn't get approved. As you can see.
Right. Now, Jason, you also were very persistent from an early age. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me that you have come into contact with so many icons, right? Most of us will never have a chance to have a phone conversation with Michael Jackson or throw a party with Whitney Houston or
you gotta tell the Queen Latifah
talk
story.
To Prince.
I had to call Jason phone one day.
Why?
He did.
Because I was just like, I don't understand how the f*** Jason knows all these people. And I saw him with Queen Latifah, but it wasn't that he was with her. Mm-hmm. It was what she said. They've been knowing each other for 20 years.
I took a picture with Missy Elliott, and Latifah was putting her, the ears or whatever behind me.
The bunny ears, huh?
Yeah, she and I were texting last night because when I wrote the book, she was one of the most important people that I wanted to read it because when my brother was murdered, she was the only person that would take every phone call. She was the only person that would stay on the phone with me until I was ready to get off. I didn't really get into, like, suicidal thoughts in the book because the original working title of the book was Waiting to Die, because I really felt like all my life when I was going through shit, that's what I was really like, okay, I'm ready, I'm done, like, I'm over it. But I felt like that would be too dark and people would miss the message, what I was trying to convey. So when I thought about Latifah and what she's been to me, I mean, I met her at 15 years old. I had just come home from foster care. I was back in the streets. My sister was a fan. We went to the concert to meet her. We jumped over to Gay, got caught up, ended up lying, getting passes, finessed our way to get to her. And then when she came out, I just stood in front of her like, yo, what's up? I need to holler at you. And
I need your number.
Well, I didn't ask her for the number right away. We just started shooting the shit, but she was so cool. This is really at the beginning of, I think, Living Single before Set It Off. Mm-hmm. So we started shooting the shit, and then I ended by saying, yo, give me your phone number. And she was like, nah, I'm not giving you my number. Like, it's not happening. I was like, why? You think you better than me? And she was just like, nah, I'm not giving you my number.
I know you.
And she drove off saying, if it's meant to be, you're going to find me. So 3 days later when I got shot and I was laying in the hospital, I just got the phone and started calling around.
Don't
and,
just brush by the I got shot part.
Well, I got shot. Yes. And just drive by.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was fucked up. So I got shot. I'm in the hospital. I'm like, damn. So I got the phone. I started calling around, and I was able to get her on the phone. I called Fox.
He finessed it.
I finessed it. You like yeah. the story, though, right?
Yeah.
I called up, and I was like, yo, this is Queen Latifah's cousin. I just got shot. I can't find my family. I think they're going to cut my leg off. I'm bleeding. So they started, like, really tripping, and they took the phone to her trailer, and she didn't call me. She didn't answer there, but they gave her my phone number. She called me back. When she called me back, she invited me to Living Single. Once I went to Living Single, and I was able to see, like, us working, us getting along, hugging, people loving on each other. Met Erica Alexander, who I've seen up here a lot of times.
Yeah, she was super
dope. She was super dope. Now, Kim Fields, she was a bitch. That one, I didn't like her. She was rude as hell. She was mean. I think she was
Kim Fields?
Yeah, she was in a sunken place at the time. I didn't like her. I just remember her almost running us over with her Jeep. She was dating this Asian man at the time.
That was the 90s, though.
Yeah, whatever. She's probably on cocaine.
Jesus, Kim Tootie.
Goodness gracious. Go ahead.
Don't do Tootie like Tootie. That.
Okay. So maybe she wasn't on cocaine. I don't know. But she was on some shit. But I went up there and, you know, I just fell in love with our people. And I just fell in love with her. And she became like a family member. Just take every phone call. At the time, she had Sky Pager. Mm-hmm. So you would just page her. She'd get a phone call. And Erica Alexander got me on the show as an extra. I mean, I went out there thinking I was a star. And Dana checked me. Our relationship was very, like, just real. And then...
You was on the show. So what did you do on the show as an extra?
I was on a date with a girl. You know I was acting. I said, I'm going to be on a date with her. Okay. Got my little SAG eligibility.
All right, we got more with Jason Lee. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Jason Lee.
What happened with you and Kevin Hart?
So
that was New Year's Day, right?
I don't know if it was New Year's Day, but basically he had come out with a documentary. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even seen the documentary yet. I don't even write the content on Hollywood Unlocked, but I own it all because my name on it. I own the company. Mm-hmm. I saw that my staff had wrote Kevin Hart's wife finds out about cheating via DM. The next thing I saw was Kevin had left a comment basically criticizing our post, saying that out of everything in the documentary, this is what we chose to talk about. So I said to my team, come to the house. I'm going to do a video. But in the meantime, I'm going to watch this documentary. And I watched the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have a very critical opinion about it. I think the way he talked to his trainer on the plane was low. Right. It was low brow. It was low class. It was trash.
What happened during that scene?
Okay, so in the scene, they're on the jet. They get into a conversation. They've been drinking a little too much brown juice. And then Kevin says something to him like, you know, could you survive without me? Like, do you have money? Do you even own a home?
I get what he was saying with that. You know, a lot of people like to say they got money, but do you really have money? Do you own a house? Like, I didn't think that was... disrespectful.
Well, the flip side to that could be if you're a multimillionaire and I'm with you every day and my family and I have invested in you every day, I should own a house.
Yeah, and if you don't,
like,
that's
you got
your
the
fault.
Money and it's kind of your fault. So we're at the house. We do the 6-minute video to talk about it, and the video goes viral. And so then eventually Tiffany Haddish called and put Kevin on a 3-way. And I think the issue that was that he didn't know that me and Aniko had a conversation a year before via DM. And he was really upset about that because he felt like, you know, attack me if you want, just don't attack my family. And I didn't look at it like an attack.
But you got to understand, because I feel the same way.
Yeah, but
attack me all you want, but just
can't
keep
be
my wife
people's
out the way.
Wives.
Yeah,
Jason.
But it was in the documentary, so it wasn't like it was incorrect.
Once you put your relationship public, it's there for public consumption. Then people are going to talk about it.
I agree,
it.
But if I don't like what you said, I can still.
Yeah, you can
approach.
Be mad. This is what I said to him. Mm-hmm. You can be mad. But what I said to Kevin was, you just taught me how to get your attention. And I did understand where he was coming from. You know, he didn't know about the messages between me and his wife. In the message, I had said, you know, I called her a stripper, which she's not. It was just me baiting her into an argument. And I apologize.
That's
come
not
on
nice
now.
At all.
You call a man's wife a stripper.
I did apologize to him for that part. I even went and did another video and said, hey.
Yeah, you did.
My bad. I shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not in a bad place. I mean, I'm just answering the question because I was
cool
asked.
He's a cool guy, though. And I'm sure at some point he will. He's true to his word.
Yeah.
I got a few more questions. I want to go back to the molestation, right?
Yeah.
Were you in tune with your sexuality before then?
I don't remember sexuality before then. Remember, this was the era before. I mean, we didn't have Instagram. We didn't have social media. I didn't know where porn was. I didn't know what a gay club was. My mother had a transsexual staying at our house at one point with very bad fashion sense. But other than that, I had never really seen gay. So the first time I was molested, I didn't really know what it was. I mean, he didn't touch me. He just masturbated in front of me. I knew it was weird and it was inappropriate, so I went and I reported to my mom. She didn't believe me. The second...
She didn't believe you?
No, she didn't believe me. And she had been raped by her dad, which I thought was crazy because your mother didn't believe you.
She should sympathize with
Yeah, like, you should, you know, and then I remember her making her at 7 go to the police department and tell the police. Like, I had to make her go. And then the second time was a babysitter's boyfriend. And that time, I remember feeling aroused, but, you know, if you're being touched or you're doing things, you're going to get aroused. As a kid, you don't know that it's, you know that it's wrong, but you also know that it feels good. So it was weird. I don't know. I don't remember being gay before that. I was like 7, you know what I mean? But I don't know that there's a connection between that and molest, but I haven't done the work yet, so I don't know.
But let me ask you about this now. I saw you and Kendra G. I was following that back and forth that you guys had.
Darkness.
So, and it was
That's
all over OG
so be
from Basketball
you
Wives.
A lot.
From Basketball Wives, and you guys had a whole conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like what you had to say, and you didn't agree with what she was saying, and it got a little hostile.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some back and forth afterwards. So where do you stand with that now?
Yeah.
Well, for the people that don't know, explain what happened with the whole rant.
Okay, so we had saw the OG Evelyn Lozada thing happening. I had never interviewed Evelyn Lozada. I had never even met Evelyn Lozada. But we had DM'd each other a couple of times over the last couple of years saying, hey, would you come on our podcast? Yeah, I'm going to come whenever I'm there because she doesn't live in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when this OG Evelyn thing happened, it was just perfect timing. She was in L.A. I'm like, yo, pull up, do the show. You know, I didn't know OG. And so when Evelyn came on, I interviewed her, but I guess because I didn't attack her or shame her for being a colorist or whatever people assumed that she was being, because that's just not what our show does, people were upset. And then I had scheduled an interview in Chicago on WGCI, which was one of our affiliates, because I'm on the weekend in Chicago through iHeart.
Now, what did you say to spark that argument?
I had said that I thought OG was ugly. That's what I said.
That's harsh.
Well, how did I say is harsh?
I know.
You know what I mean?
But yeah,
I feel bad about it now.
It is, because you're not ugly.
Well,
that's a strong word.
I ain't going to go there no more.
But see, and this is the way the world gets sensitive. If that's his opinion, that's his opinion.
But what I say, what I will learn is my platform and my voice. And when I said it, I just said it, but then it started being repeated and echoed and repeated and replayed and reposted and reposted. And it became like bullying almost, right?
So hurtful, like, yeah.
So, I mean, I still, you know.
Go ahead, Jason.
She's not ugly, Jason.
So,
once again,
I'm going to let that go. And I'm going to let that
triggers,
go.
Triggers, though. People probably might have been saying that to her when she was young.
So I went to go do this interview, and I walked in disarmed. And then it went into 55 minutes of just challenging my views on colorism and not understanding a black woman's perspective and taking sides with Evelyn and how I was bashing OG and the beauty of OG. That's what hurt me the most, because I know I could feel that I hurt OG in that interview by spending so much time doubling down on what she looked like. And that I regretted. That's the only part I regret. I put it on my YouTube channel, and I labeled it An Hour of My Life I Can't Get Back.
So I don't think it was a personal thing to you. It was the idea of colorism and the conversation around colorism that she was passionate about.
And it just started layering, and then her co-host left, and it was just me and her. And
what?
They left in the middle of the interview. Bro, they left us there. And
But there was nobody there to stop it. That's why it went on so long.
Well, when Leon was there, there was a balance to the conversation, because he was saying, like, yo, I don't think Whoopi Goldberg is attractive, but I'm not saying that because she's dark-skinned. Now, I felt felt uncomfortable with that.
My God.
No, I felt uncomfortable because I was like, Whitney's a legend.
She just caught a stray
out of nowhere. Jesus
Christ. Yeah.
I even saw you say that I don't even give a fuck about colorism.
I didn't say I don't care about colorism. If that's what I said, what I meant was I don't care to talk about colorism right now because I'm just telling you I don't believe this person is attractive. Mm-hmm. And I have the right to feel like something is or is not attractive. I'm not, but that goes back to the industry politics.
Now also, whatever.
But wait, can I say something? But I learned, though. I learned now. I just got to be ready at all times.
The person that dishes it has to always be willing and ready to take it.
Now, speaking of taking it.
If you're a top, you may not understand that.
Yeah, then there's a whole campaign online to prove I'm a bottom. I'm like, right. Really? Really?
We had a discussion
really?
About
you're
this.
You trying to find somebody to f*** me already? Like, damn.
Speaking
I'm not going to lie. We had a conversation
about
this.
Wait, if y'all bring a picture up, let me tell y'all something.
On lip service.
Don't even with me right now.
Let me ask you.
Because I got a bunch of DMs and people saying, Jason lies about being a top. He's really a bottom.
No.
I did. I got a bunch of messages. And they were like, make sure on lip service you ask him about that because he is lying, hunty.
Yo, bottoms need love, too. I respect them. I think they're necessary. I just don't understand why people want me to be a bottom so bad.
So, Jason, you've never.
No, but I'm going to tell you
okay,
why.
Okay, so.
Listen, if you f***ed me, please post it online. So I know. But this is the only reason why I haven't been a bottom. And I'm not saying that I would never, ever do it. I mean, I am gay. When you get drunk or whatever, you're in the bed playing around. This goes here. This goes there. Shit just happens. Whatever. And in the morning, you wake up and you act like it didn't happen. But I think the reason why is
that sounded too real.
I would not be able to. I just don't ever want to be nowhere and somebody be like, y'all f***ed him. Like, I wouldn't be able to handle that. Like, that's why I feel sorry for, like, for some women. Like, I can't, like, men do that to women. Men do that
no,
to women.
No, they do. No, for real, for
like,
real.
Like, y'all f***ed her, man. She sucked my d***. She ain't s***. I couldn't even imagine being
but
out somewhere.
Women...
And Charlamagne walking up to me at Tiffany Harris' party and be like, yo, man, that dude over there, man, he say he f***ed you. I would probably go to prison.
Women do
right
that
there.
Now, too. We be in parties.
I don't know.
Is that bad being a bottom?
No, it's not.
Bottom
that.
Lives matter,
no,
Jason.
No, bottom lives do matter.
I do want to say, though, Jason, this has been the best independent book rollout I've seen in a long time.
I don't know
if it's because I follow you. Yeah.
If you read the book, I promise you it's a book that will help other people who need hope and that have been through
It's
so.
Not messy at all.
Well, we appreciate you for stopping through and joining us. The book, God Must Have Forgotten About Me, Jason Lee.
Where's it out?
It's out now. You can go get it. It's number one in a couple categories on Amazon. We have a 5-star rating. And the new website, HollywoodUnlocked.com. I want people to go there. We're chatting about the book. I have a new partner called Yappa, where people can actually send us videos on our website, and we can actually respond in video to them. So I'm just excited.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason Lee, for joining us. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Do my Khaled dance.
You all right? What are you doing?
Do my Khaled dance. That's...
He said...
Amber, can you sit down? Can we get into rumors?
I'm just excited, man. I'm happy. It's Wednesday. We are live, man. Eyes are open. Don't
all right, we got
good?
Rumors salute. Coming up right now. We're going to be talking Drake.
Yeah, but salute to Khaled, though. All that cardio he be doing and still ain't losing no weight.
See? All right, let's talk Drake.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo!
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Drake has a multi-year live streaming partnership deal now with Caffeine TV.
That's dope.
Yes, they do those rap battles. They are in partnership with Ultimate Rap League, and the first battle will stream live from Atlanta February 29th, and they have two more planned in the spring in Houston and Charlotte.
He's doing that with my guy Smack TV. Smack was the, I'll tell you that story. He's the first person I got into a fight with. He punched me in my face when we were in third grade.
That doesn't sound like a fight. It sounds like he punched you in the face.
I punched him back. He just won. Well, shout to Smack. Shout to Troy. What up, bro?
And since then, he was like, I'm going to start a platform called Smack after I smacked Envy. All right. Now, Caffeine also has other entertainers and sports figures contributing to their programming, like Doja Cat, Offset. A bunch of different people. So they said our other platforms are very heavy in gaming, and Caffeine is really the first place that's bringing together entertainment and sports. It's a place where the next generation can go online and watch anything from X Games to Coachella to Fortnite, all in one place.
Or dropping the clues bombs with Drake and Smack. I love what I hear about black people actually owning a platform.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Instead of just being, on a platform, they own it. So salute to them.
I heard about it about a week ago, and I tried to get him up here to announce it. I was like, come talk about it. You've never been up here. He was like, nah, I got to wait for something big to come up here and talk about it. Smack, come on up, man. I love what y'all guys
about
are
Drake.
Doing.
I was like, you supposed to Drake.
I definitely thought you were talking about Smack.
I was like, Drake's never been up here either.
No, Smack.
All right.
You really oversold that one.
Oversold what? Smack.
Shout out to Smack.
Salute to Smack.
Speaking of our black people, Essence Fest 2020 is coming up, and they have the lineup so far. Bruno Mars is headlining for the first time. And Janet Jackson, Patti LaBelle. There's going to be Raphael Sadiq, Tamia, Swiss Beats, Dougie Fresh, Janelle Monae, Summer Walker, Jadena, Saweetie, Sir, Ari Lennox. All of those are so far confirmed if you want to go to Essence Fest. And speaking of Janet Jackson, she has announced her Black Diamond album and tour. She's going to be doing a whole entire tour. Now, they have not announced when the album will be coming out, but the tour does kick off on June 24th if you're a Janet Jackson fan. Envy used to DJ for Janet Jackson. All right, DaBaby had some drama online yesterday that he ended up addressing. Now, him and his, I guess, I didn't know if he was back together with the children's mother, but they had broken up for a while. And I guess now they are back together, but now maybe there's some issues because apparently he has another baby on the way, and he did confirm that.
The same way I say, you know, I would never speak down on a person. I never allow the internet to look down on a person who birthed a child for me when my new coming blessing was conceived. Me and Shorty was not together. Shorty was not with me, living with me. So don't be fooled, man.
Right, so she was posting a bunch of different text messages and saying, money is power, know it, understand it. I've been asking God to show me the people who aren't for me, and he did just that. Your favorite rapper is the number one capper. Don't believe half of what social media is showing you. So now, in his defense, I will say she did go online and said that they were not together. They still were cool with each other. So I guess this might have happened during a break time, but I'm sure her feelings are hurt right now to find out that he has a baby on the way. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
We need Michael Bloomberg to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
Okay. What does he call himself? Blumbuto?
Blumbito.
Blumbito. All right. We'll give it to him when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You get donkey of the day, you dumb ass. You get donkey of the day, you get dumb ass.
You are a donkey. It's time for donkey of the day.
Donkey of the day, huh? I'm gonna fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was gonna be on the donkey of the day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's donkey of the day today?
Well, donkey of the day for Wednesday, February 12th, goes to former three-term mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg. Now, we all knew that when Michael Bloomberg announced he was running for president, one of the biggest hurdles he was going to have to overcome was the fact that he oversaw a police tactic that allowed cops to detain a person on any type of vague suspicion, okay? They could search that individual without a warrant and arrest the person if any kind of illegal substance or weapon was found. That policy was called stop and frisk. Now, the problem with stop and frisk is simple. Vague suspicion, in a lot of cases, simply meant black, okay? Black and brown. And black and brown folks said that we were unfairly targeted by the stop and frisk policy, and yes, we were right, okay? Bloomberg, back in 2012, said himself that the policy should be mended, not ended. And last year, before he announced his bid for president, Bloomberg defended the policy by arguing it targeted kids who walked around looking like they might have a gun, and that it works because the result of that was, over the years, the murder rate in New York City went from 650 a year to 300 a year. That should be applauded. Applaud that. Okay. That is great anytime the murder rate drops. But what do kids... Stop the applause. But what do kids who walk around looking like they might have a gun look like? Huh? What do they look like? Well, in 2015, he gave a speech in Colorado where Michael Bloomberg is heard defending his racist stop and frisk policing policy. And Bloomberg described the kind of kids he was talking about. And guess what? They are minorities. And now, this audio I'm about to play isn't the best, but I'll give you the highlights after we listen.
95% of your murders and murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25. People say, oh my God, you are arresting kids for marijuana. They're all minorities. Yes, That's true. Why? Because that's where all the crime is. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them against the wall and frisk them.
I know he's wishing that audio was worse, but in case it was inaudible, Michael Bloomberg described the policy as a way to reduce violence by throwing minority kids up against walls and frisking them. So those kids he was talking about who look like they have guns, yes, they were black and brown folks. Bloomberg also claims that 95% of murders and murderers and murder victims are male minorities between the ages of 16 to 25. And you can just take the descriptions and Xerox it and pass it out to all the cops. Now, it doesn't stop there. Bloomberg also defended the policy on one of our sister stations, WOR. Trouble in Clues Bombs for WOR, right? And they actually explain why they are stopping whites too much and minorities not enough.
They just keep saying, oh, it's a disproportionate percentage of a particular ethnic group. That may be, but it's not a disproportionate percentage of those who witnesses and victims describe as committing the murder. In that case, incidentally, I think we disproportionately stop whites too much and minorities too little.
All right, tell them how you really feel, Bloomberg. Now, you know, all day yesterday, people kept asking me, is Michael Bloomberg racist? I hate questions like that. See, it's clear that the stop and frisk policy was racist. The statements he made defending the stop and frisk policy are definitely racist. So why are you asking me if Michael Bloomberg is racist? Why aren't you asking if his policies are racist? Because you know the answer to that. All right, asking if Michael Bloomberg is racist moves the goalpost a little. And when people ask him, you know, Michael Bloomberg, are you racist? He can say no. But if you ask him, was the stop and frisk policy racist? Well, there's only one way to answer that question if he's being honest. Now, look, people grow, people evolve, they learn from their mistakes. Mayor Bloomberg apologized, but is an apology made days before his presidential bid was announced really an apology? Let's listen.
I can't change history. However, today, I want you to know that I realized back then I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I got something important really wrong. I didn't understand that back then, the full impact that stops were having on the black and Latino communities. I was totally focused on saving lives, but as we know, good intentions aren't good enough.
Look, he's right. You can't change history. You can only do better. But he had years to say that, okay? You announced that at a black church in Brooklyn days before you announced you were running for president. I know this is dream-selling season, and people are saying whatever they have to say to get votes, but damn. At least make the apology look real. Make it look sexy, okay? And truthfully, the best apology is change behavior. But it's a little too late in the game for us to trust Michael Bloomberg now, right? But I have a question. Could someone tell me why the old white men who have implemented the most racist legislation, Biden and Bloomberg, have the most black support? Huh? Could somebody tell me that? I saw a new poll this week that says Bloomberg shot up to second among black voters at 22%, behind Biden at 27%. Joe Biden, who was the architect of the 94 crime bill, not to mention the 86 crack laws, and Michael Bloomberg, the overseer of the stop and frisk policy, are leading amongst black voters? What the hell is wrong with you Negroes? Right? I mean, there is no perfect candidate, so you truly have to vote for the person who you think best represents your interests. But how could you vote for someone who intentionally implemented legislation that hurt your community? Look, I'm definitely voting this year, but getting Donald Trump out is not enough for me. I'm not voting out of fear for Trump. I'm voting for the person who I think is going to actually do something directly to empower the black community, okay? Black people, let me tell you something. Voting for people that have implemented policies that directly hurt your community is not empowerment. Okay, we are just giving them more power to continue to F us over, okay? And the black community will continue to lose, and the white elite will continue to win as long as that's our mindset. Please let Remy Ma give Michael Bloomberg the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Charlamagne, for that donkey of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Yee right now. She'll help you with all your problems. The number, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What you want to know?
Baby mama issues? Need some words of wisdom? Call up now for Ask Yee, 800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice? Call up now for Ask Yee.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Kevin.
Okay, Kevin. Kevin, what's your question for Yee?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Angela Yee?
Yeah. You know, basically, me and my girlfriend, we've been together for like 5 years, and you know, I trust and I love and everything. But something recently happened. Like the ex popped up in the picture, and she never dealt with an ex before in the past years and stuff. The ex recently been getting contact with her and stuff, and they've been talking for the past month. They've been talking like frequently and stuff, and I had bumped me.
Okay.
So I told her I asked her about the ex. She told me about everything and stuff. Then I say man, I'm not really comfortable with that, with her keeping the ex in the picture. Cause I wouldn't be comfortable with that either. So she said, all right, cool. She gonna cut him off, whatever. But it took like a whole week for her, like, to, you know what I'm saying? No, they were still talking. There was no results. So now I just broke up with her the other day, and you know, a few days later, now she cut him off, and you know what I'm saying? Now she sending me letters and want to, you know, get back together and stuff like that. I'm trying to figure out, should I give another chance?
All right, so we've
been together. I didn't say she cheated on me. She did anything.
But she was emotionally, you feel like it hurt your feelings that she was doing that, and you couldn't understand why.
Yeah, I couldn't understand why the ex popped up in the picture. Like, she said they just friends and stuff. I mean, like, come on, like.
So when you mean she was talking to him, like, she was talking to him frequently?
Oh, no, but they spoke like seven times. They spoke like seven times.
And what were they talking about?
Oh, I actually recorded a conversation.
You recorded her conversation?
Yeah, the other day. Oh, that's the reason I broke up with her, because I was going to compromise her. Like, okay, you can keep him around if you want to. If as long as y'all just friends, cool, I let it be. But when I recorded a conversation on the phone, it wasn't pretty at all.
What was happening on this conversation?
Well, I heard an ex keep saying a lot of sexual stuff, and how you want to do this to her, how you want to do that to her. And she on the phone, I mean, even though she was on the phone saying, no, I got a boyfriend, I'm not on that, blah, blah, blah. You know, what bugs me is that you wanted to be friends with this guy. You want to be.
Right, she shouldn't even have been entertaining that.
Exactly, she was entertaining it, you know?
Mm. Yeah, we have a guy in the room right here who's divorced had a similar situation like that. Well, let me say this.
It'll trigger him.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that did happen to him. Well, I have to say that if you feel like you had to record a conversation, you already knew something was up. And it's very suspicious that she would have wanted to do that and risk her relationship with you because you warned her. She was still going ahead and doing what she wanted to do. And now that you're gone, she feels like she wants you back. I will say this, because I can't tell you whether or not you can trust her. Who knows? But I would tell you that I would take my time in making any decision because, you know, it is troubling for somebody to, A, you confronted her about the situation, told her how you felt, B, she, you know, made an agreement with you, because obviously she shouldn't be still talking to her ex, but you still were nice about it. You said y'all can be friends, if that's all it is. Then you feel like you had to record a conversation because you knew she was lying, and then you caught her lying. So the question is, you catch somebody lying to you and doing what you know, asked them not to do, what is your action going to be? So you did leave her, but now you want to potentially get back together with her. And I think that she has to really show and prove to you that she's not communicating with him at all anymore, because I would definitely be a little cautious and wary. She wasn't very honest with you in the first place.
Yeah, definitely.
So whatever you decide to do, just take your time doing it. There's no reason for you to rush back in a relationship with somebody that you can't trust. I think that it will take a lot of time for her to rebuild that trust for you. And I just, at this point in time, wouldn't know what to think, because I don't know if she's going to continue to do it. You don't know if she's for real talking to him anymore or not. You don't know if they ended up getting together during this time period that y'all were broken up.
Yeah.
And I tell you this, once you're in a relationship and you feel like you have to sneak around and record somebody, that's a terrible sign.
Yeah.
And your peace of mind is worth a lot more than any of that. You need to be with somebody that respects you, respects your relationship, and isn't lying to you.
Okay. Yeah, because we've been together for 5 years, and I ain't never had to think about her dealing with another dude. I know she, you know, she's to herself. She don't like to go clubbing. She don't do stuff like that. She just,
the conversation is, what happened? Is there something in your relationship that's lacking that made her feel like, you know, going outside and like, what is going on? What is this a reflection of what's going on in your relationship? And that's a conversation to be had. But I would definitely take my time in deciding what to do moving forward.
Yeah, because I was because I was thinking, because if she really didn't love me, she would have cut him off in a heartbeat. But now since I broke up with her, now she claims she cut him off and this
right.
and that, and want to get back and sending me letters and, you know.
Well, Kevin, it sounds like you miss her and you want to be with her. So I will say, just be cautious. You know, this is really ultimately up to you and up to whether or not you feel like she can be trusted. So just take your time.
Okay.
All right, Kevin. All right, good luck. Oh, you sound so hurt.
800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, hit Yeet now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Here's some real advice with Angela Yeet. It's Ask Yeet.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
It's Sam.
Hey, Sam, what's your question for Yee?
So let me give y'all a little rundown real quick. My daughter, when she was 12, I took her phone away for being disrespectful. I found naked pictures of a man's little penis in her phone and pictures of her. So, yes, the black mother and me, I whooped her ass. I ended up getting arrested, kids taken away, whatever.
Wow.
But we still are going through the same issue. Now, her dad is a lot older than I am, and I had her when I was 14, and I'm trying to break that cycle, but every single thing that I do is just not working. She's sneaking out and running away. Like, I just don't know what to do anymore besides beat her ass, but then I'm going to go to jail again.
Right. Well, it doesn't sound like the beating her ass part is working for you.
She told on you, or did the school see the bruises?
Well, I took her to the hospital and because I wanted an STD check and things like that, because I don't know who this individual is. And from there, she told them a lot of lies. And from there, from the hospital, I was arrested.
Yeah.
Okay, but you did beat her ass.
With a belt, yes. So I whooped her with a belt.
It doesn't feel like these beatings are getting through to her, right? She's still doing what she wants to do. She's still rebelling against you. Maybe she's not looking at it as you showing that you love and care about her, and it might be you're punishing her, but you're not showing her the right way. And like you said, I understand that you want to break that cycle, but it feels like you don't feel like you know how to talk to your daughter. Have y'all tried to get counseling together?
Yeah, I've been through everything. I've been to anger management classes, family counseling. And, I mean, it's not like I beat her. That's the first time she's gotten a whooping, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I sit down and talk to her. I explain to her my situation and why it was different, you know, when I was growing up versus when she's growing up. And,
Right. Like,
it's not, the heart-to-hearts aren't working, the counseling isn't working. I'm just like at the point where, okay, I'm just trying to maintain until you start 18 and get on and do your own thing.
Are there any other people that you could look to for her, like as role models that could kind of help her out and show her something maybe?
Mm-hmm. When I tell you, I have been through everything, sisters, brothers, cousins, uncles, aunties, nothing is came through to this child. Like, I really started to think she's a lost cause.
Mm. Where do y'all live?
In Texas.
All right, hold on the line. I'm going to talk to somebody who's a professional because I do want you, I can see you really want to have a better relationship with your daughter. And, of course, you're concerned for her welfare and her well-being, but you also understand that she's a teenager. I remember when I was 14 and how rebellious I was, and my parents couldn't tell me anything. So,
oh, I know. I had her when I was 14, so yeah, I know.
Right, and you are trying to make sure that she, you know, has an easier time than you had, right? But it feels like nothing that you're saying is getting through. And she probably looks at you and is like, well, you did the same thing. How are you going to tell me I can't do that?
Right.
All right. So hold on the line. I'm going to try to get you in touch with somebody that might be able to direct you in Texas to some way you can get some more help or some way to get through to your daughter.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Hold on.
All right. Ask Yee. 800-585-1051.
Would y'all know what to do with your daughters? In that situation?
I mean, it would be a conversation, especially at 14, if my daughter was getting those pics.
She said she's had conversations, heart-to-hearts, counseling.
I'm on her ass.
Yeah, I'm on her ass all day
long. I don't even
want
to think about that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Yeah. I kind of was kind of blacking that conversation out.
I would be all over my daughter to make sure. Yeah,
she would be with me 24/7. Because it seems like she's trying to do everything that she can.
She would not have any freedom at all.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, listen, as a father, you have to accept that at some point, you know, your daughter is going to get it in with somebody, right?
Not at 14, though.
I mean, no, you hope not, but when did you lose your virginity?
I was a late bloomer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, doesn't
count. A lot of people aren't.
I was a late bloomer.
I lost mine at like 16, 17, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would love for my daughter to wait until she gets married.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate goal,
right?
But, you know, that's probably not reality.
But not at 14.
But listen, if she said her daughter's sneaking out the house, it don't matter. Like, I think about how bad I was.
I had all type of alarm systems.
When I was 14.
It would be ringing when they open a window. Like,
she got to go to school.
Like that, though. Are you sure you can be like that in 2020?
What you mean?
Can you be overprotective?
Put an alarm on my door, be overprotective?
Yeah,
yes,
but she has to go to school.
What if she wanted to choose her own identity?
My daughter,
if she wanted to be a son.
Bro, all that stuff that they put out in the world. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's fine for them. But for me and my family, my daughters and my son.
Throw that political correctness out the window.
But what about when?
I don't care about all that.
But let me ask you, what about when she goes to school? You can't prevent that.
Well, she's 18.
Let me hear conservative envy. I don't like liberal envy. Go conservative envy.
No, but I'm saying at 14, she's going to school, high school. Like when she leaves the house to go to school.
And who you think picks up?
I know, but I'm saying when she's at school.
Who do you think drops her off?
And you got your gun.
See, I ain't got nothing to do with
it. You got your dog.
But my daughter's not sneaking out.
Let's go, conservative envy.
But listen to this. There's also parents who can't take their kids to school and pick them up every day. Like my parents, I had to take myself to school because they both had jobs.
Yo, F all that, ye. I'm locking it down, too. I don't hear what you're talking about.
I'm
just saying, what can you tell a parent to do?
At 14, if I see PP Pink, I'm throwing her phone away, and I'm saying, I'm telling my wife, talk to your daughter, please, now, immediately.
My dad would sneak up behind me on the bus stop to make sure I was doing what's right, and I will do the same.
Wait, your dad found pictures of penises in your phone?
No, I went. But
then I'm gonna start making up all kind of lies.
Well, make sure I wasn't doing nothing right. But I would follow my daughter. There'd be no way, no way.
By the way, when I got caught with porn and a trapper keeper when I was young, my mama wanted my daddy to whip my ass, and my daddy was like, "You want me to whip his ass? Cause he got porn, like." And I was young. I was like 8 or 9. You know what I mean? So the same rules apply. Let's not act like it's a male female thing. Same rules apply.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way, ye.
Yes, we're talking about Meg Thee Stallion. She got arrested. And her old mugshot from 2015 is popping up. We'll tell you what she had to say.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk drink champs.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so Floyd Mayweather was on Drink Champs with our guys. And one thing that he said to Nori was he talks about fighting Conor McGregor, and he didn't train for real. Here's what he said.
You know, for the Conor McGregor, I ain't really trained. All I did was do push-ups and sit-ups. Every once in a while.
That's crazy, man. Come on.
That's all I did. Boxed a few times, hit the bag a few times.
Okay.
That sounds good.
That's a lie.
He probably didn't train as hard as he would for an actual boxer.
Well, it was footage. He was training. He trained. Floyd always stays in shape.
He's always training.
He's always stays in shape, though.
I don't think the full interview is out yet either, though. I think it comes out tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it came on Tidal actually yesterday.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, in addition to that, he talks about Floyd talked about his beef with 50 Cent and not knowing how that even started.
We could have stayed friends.
Is there something in that relationship you think that you could have did better, or it's just like...
I've been nothing but good to him, man. If this man come on my house, my chef cook big meals for us. We sit back, we kick it. And, you know, like I said before, I ain't never had... Then this come out the blue. Just like me and you just kicking. I'm out here talking with y'all. And I come do a show with you every day. One day you just go in the blue and just say something like, damn, where this come from?
Right.
So that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know how that started, too. They were so close. They were the BFFs. They were best buddies. I don't know where it went left.
Yeah. No idea. But that has to be like... I don't know. I feel like maybe he's not telling the whole story, but we can ask 50 maybe. I don't know.
Yep.
All right. Now, Romeo Miller has allegedly quit Growing Up Hip Hop, according to the Jasmine brand. They said Romeo nor his father, Master P, would never go against their morals for money for any network. And they said Romeo hasn't been on much of the season. He's focusing on many businesses and his career and his love life with his new girlfriend as well. So he also took it off his social media. That's another telltale sign.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Meg Thee Stallion, she has set the record straight on what happened in 2015 when she was arrested. Her mugshot has been circulating, and here's what she said happened.
I was like maybe 19 or 20, and I had a real beautiful toxic relationship. I was at South by Southwest, and my mother boyfriend at the time, I had just found out that this had a baby right then and there at the damn concert. I was so mad. So I'm trying to walk away. The take my phone, throw it on the ground, stomp on that bitch. It just so happened
that when I was ready to give it to him, the motherfucking police pulled up when I'm punching.
Yes, sounds like an extremely toxic relationship, and it is a cautionary tale from Meg Thee Stallion.
She got to explain why she had to put hands on somebody?
Yeah, her boyfriend, was in a relationship with her boyfriend, and she talks about what happened and him cheating and all of the things that he did in that relationship. And
most women can understand, I'm sure.
Right, but then the cops showed up, and, you know, end up getting arrested and having a mugshot. But she wanted to explain why that mugshot was out there. All right, Nick Cannon, he did an interview with Vlad TV, and one song on his new mixtape, Used to Look Up to You, people thought that song was directed at Eminem, but he cleared it up on Vlad TV and said it was actually about someone else.
Used to look up to you, and I know what it is. Almost about, more about 50 and a lot of these other rappers who I'm like, dog, man, I have so much respect for y'all.
So yeah, that kind of explains it, especially when you hear that lyric from the song, this lyric right here. All right. Have you, anybody listened to Nick Cannon's mixtape in here?
No.
Nah. Nick, my guy, but I'm gonna be honest with you, I got better things to do. Like last night, I was clipping my fingernails. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
You know, sleep.
Sleep.
You know.
Brushing my hair.
Yeah, it's like I got a lot of better things to do than listen to Nick Cannon's mixtape. Oh, you know goodness. What I mean? I like, that's my guy, though.
That's a guy, though.
That's
the
my guy.
The mixtape is called The Miseducation of the Negro You Love to Hate.
I don't. Nobody loves to hate Nick Cannon, and we love Nick Cannon. There's only one thing that everybody universally hates about Nick Cannon, and what is that? His rapping. That's it. That's it. Other than that, Nick Cannon is a phenomenal human being, a stand-up brother, a great businessman, a great father. We love Nick Cannon. We just wish he had an alias. That's what Nick needs.
An alias?
He needs an alias. Nick needs a rap name. If Nick had a rap name, then we could say, yo, we hate, you know, MC Nicki D. You know what I'm saying? But we love Nick Cannon.
So so you don't think he's ever going to win a Grammy?
Grammy for what?
You know what? Never mind.
Maybe for a book.
You write
a book.
I don't know the Grammys mean any, you know, all the time. A lot of people have won Grammys.
What about a BET award then?
Or haven't won Grammys.
Sure, Nick might have one of those.
Listen. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
We just don't like Nick as a rapper.
My goodness.
Can we all, listen, for this Black History Month, can we all, black people, get on with at least one common accord? No, seriously. Is there anybody that likes Nick Cannon as a rapper?
I like Gigolo. You like Gigolo?
Man, shut up. I really want to know. Tweet me right now. Maybe we'll put up a poll. I just want to know, is there anybody who likes Nick Cannon as a rapper?
I'm sure Nick Cannon's family.
Man, shut up, man. To my guy, Nick Cannon. Though.
Shout out to Nick Cannon, man.
Not Nick Cannon the rapper, though. Nick Cannon and everything else.
All right. Revolt, we'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, it's Black History Month. What are we doing today, Charlamagne?
Listen, man, we got to say happy born day to the good brother, Arsenio Hall. Dropping the clues bombs for Arsenio Hall. Man, he's been an inspiration to me for a long time. One of the best TV talk show hosts of all time. There's nobody who could effortlessly talk to different types of people the way Arsenio could. He was never in a box as far as hip-hop, politics, religion, social issues. But you knew what he did was rooted in blackness and rooted in hip-hop, man. Arsenio could discuss it all with anybody. He could hold a conversation with anyone. And for that, he is a Black History Month legend. But do you remember when the gay rights organization Queer Nation tried to interrupt Arsenio as he was introducing a guest? Oh, I do. Let's get into this great Black History Month moment.
The Breakfast Club presents a new Black History Month legend.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, man.
Why don't you ever have any gay guests on your show?
I'm sorry, why don't I have any gay guests on my show? Well, there are a lot of gay guests who really don't like to talk about their sexual preference, so we don't know whether they're gay or not. You know? This is my show. You think I haven't had somebody on the show because they're gay? What's wrong with you, man? I'm black, man. I'm the biggest minority you know about. I got gay friends I've had on the show. Because you don't know them or it ain't who you want on the show, you got a problem with it. If you want to book it, get yourself a show. The one thing I would not do is discriminate against a guest because of their sexual preference. To be honest with you, there are a lot of gay guests on this show, but it ain't none of your damn business that they're gay. That's real stupid.
And that was another new Black History Month legend, courtesy of The Breakfast Club.
All right, well, shout to Arsenio Hall.
Yes, indeed.
All right, when we come back, we got the positive note. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, shout out to Sean Prez. Sean Prez is an industry veteran. He used to work for Diddy. He's done a lot. He's done the DJ Awards. He used to run Blue Flame, which is a company that Diddy used to own that used to push the liquor out.
I thought you were talking about the script club in Atlanta. I was like, for real?
Mm-mm. But tonight he's doing something at LIU, which is he does this series every week where he interviews people in the industry and just talks about their start for some of the students. So tonight I'm doing that with Sean Prez. So
when the hell Sean Prez start doing interviews?
Yeah, he does that. He's done so far. He's done Pecos. He's done James Cruz. He's done about 20 of them so far.
Well, go ahead, Sean Prez. What happened to the DJ award? They didn't do them this year?
They're gonna do them next year.
Okay.
Well, this year coming up, I should say. They didn't do it last year, but they're going to do them this year.
All right.
All right, and shout out to everybody at George Washington University. I'm headed there today for Reclaiming the Mic. That is a conversation with me from the George Washington University Association of Black Journalists. So I'll be there today.
Okay. All right, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Yes, man. This positive note is coming from the late, great Frederick Douglass, you know, a Black History Month legend for sure. I'm sure you've seen the street or two named after him. But Frederick Douglass once said something so simple yet so profound. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. So embrace the struggle sometimes.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?